While President Obama seems to be dedicating the rest of his presidency to making Americans more safe from gun violence, he also seems determined to send civilians trying to escape the worst gun violence in the world back to a war zone. Criminal gangs and the armed forces of a corrupt state have turned El Salvador into the murder capital of the planet. The Department of Homeland Security is enforcing standing deportation orders against people from Central America who've tried to escape to the United States, people like Martha Maria Hernandez.
It'll be tough, because I cannot go back to what used to be my home. You know about the Maras gang, right? Well, they've threatened me, and in my country, the threats are real. They're not playing games. I'm not going back to where I used to live, but I don't know where I'll end up.
Hernandez is speaking to Texas Standard reporter Emily Donahue from a detention center in Dilley, Texas. Ms. Hernandez was scheduled to fly to El Salvador yesterday morning, but Texas Standard reports her deportation order was halted temporarily by her attorney. Noah Bullock is the executive director of Cristosal, a human rights organization in El Salvador. He says the country is barely recognizable from the civil war years in the 1980s when the U.S. was heavily involved in El Salvador.
Comparing it to the civil war is maybe difficult in the sense that it's a different type of conflict and there's multiple actors involved in the violence. You know, we have a homicide rate nationally of about 104 to every 100,000. And to give you a perspective, the World Health Organization considers an epidemic to be anything above 10 for every 100,000 homicides. And so we have levels of violence that are similar to the Civil War period. Just in the first 3 days of the year, there were 72 people killed.
And is this death squad-like murders, or is this full-fledged chaos between gangs?
I think that narrative of gang conflict is definitely the one that the media whitewashes. But when you look closer at the conflict, I think that there are more actors involved. And that's something that is new this year. We have, for example, state violence, an increase in extrajudicial execution on the part of the police and the military. We have the emergence of death squads, like social cleansing groups. They've taken force in the country. It's not clear who's financing those groups. There's also the traditional actors like the gangs themselves and other trafficking groups that are in conflict. So you have a general environment of impunity in which groups of people can kill, and there's generally no responsibility or accountability for that violence.
What do citizens feel about all of this, just if they're not affiliated with any gang or are trying to live their lives with their heads down?
There's a slogan that they paint on the wall, see, hear, and shut up. I think that that's something that some people have had to do. People who are able to pay for their security do that, and those who can't have to find other means of surviving. I think that's the sad reality. When we think about immigration, for example, people who are deserting schools because of violence, people who can't work because of violence, their mechanism for survival is to leave the country.
And how many are leaving? What we saw in the crisis last year was that it was mostly young families and individuals who unilaterally going north. Is that still the case?
Unaccompanied minors was the story that captured the headlines, but behind that were also entire family groups that said, life is no longer viable for me in this community, I have to leave. One of the things that victims of violence are experiencing in El Salvador is that the government itself doesn't recognize forced displacement by violence as a problem. And so there aren't direct policies or programs to assist people. So when they don't encounter a solution internally in the country, they cross an international border to seek that protection. And unfortunately, in many cases, if they're heading towards the north, people aren't being treated as subjects of international protection, rather illegal immigrants.
Do the people see that the international community is responding, or do they see themselves lost in a violence that goes unreported?
That's a good way of putting it. People, I think, feel invisible. When they're displaced internally in the country, oftentimes the pattern is that families hide. They go into seclusion until they come to the conclusion that it's no longer viable. I can't develop as a person in these conditions. And then they leave the country and they have to hide from authorities that should protect them. And so this is one of the frustrating truths for families looking for options.
Is there anything in the political situation in El Salvador right now which could address this violence? Anything on the horizon that would attempt to get the country back under government control as opposed to allowing this gang violence to go essentially unchecked?
That's the sad part, is that the way that violence becomes part of an ongoing political conflict between the right and the left. They give you an example, the gangs in sort of a show of force earlier last year threatened all the transportation workers and said that if you go out and work today, you and your family will die. And they effectively were able to shut down transportation in the capital and across the country. And the response of the government was, this is a right-wing conspiracy. It's being promoted by our political adversaries. And so politicizing what isn't necessarily a political conflict makes it more difficult to come to real solutions or building more of a consensus around national policy responses.
Noah, before we go, can you give me a sense of a family or an individual who symbolizes to you the sense of loss that you know, a person is going to grow up and become an adult in a country that has no opportunity?
We generally attend to families here. And so when one family member is threatened, usually it's a criminal organization trying to exploit that member by leveraging the lives of the rest of the family. So you have young boys who maybe being forcibly recruited to join the ranks of the gang, or young girls who, when they become 12, are given two options. They can either be raped by multiple members of a gang or become the forced girlfriend of one member of the gang. And they say, if you don't choose one of those options, we'll kill your whole family. And so that sense of a family that has nowhere really to turn, no good options. And that is the concept of refugee status, of being a refugee. We have decided as an international community that nobody can be denied a place on earth because of who they are and where they were born. Yet many Central Americans are facing that situation, that if I leave my country, they'll call me illegal. If I stay, the consequences could be very severe for my family.
Noah Bullock is the executive director of Cristosal in El Salvador, a human rights organization. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.